In the age of credible threats and high alert, a debate rages about how democracies can protect their citizens without robbing them of their rights. Joining me now is Emeritus Professor of Law at Harvard University, Alan Dershowitz, who seeks to answer the question of civil liberties and terrorism in a new series of columns in the Boston Globe, as well as his latest e-book. It is his first e-book, though, Terror Tunnels, The Case for Israel's Just War Against Hamas. Welcome. Congratulations on the book. Thank you for being here.
Amazing. E-books are amazing. I finished writing it last Thursday. And by Monday, it was already zooming up the Amazon bestseller list.
Well, I think there are very few who the turnaround would be quite that quick. Well. But then for you, we would expect that. Let's talk about this, sir, the key question that America has been debating for 13 years now, which is safety at what cost? I mean, address that. Is there ever a clear line to be drawn between keeping the majority of people safe and individual privacy rights?
The reason our Constitution has survived longer than any Constitution is it's adaptable. And it has to adapt to the new threats of terrorism. We have to make some changes. We can't be operating as if we're still in the 18th or 19th century. And so I don't think we have to compromise our rights. I think we have to adapt them to the new realities. We may have to keep people confined in detention, even though we can't give them all the full due process rights, if they're bragging that they're going to go back and commit acts of terrorism. Mm-hmm. We may have to control passports a little bit more than we have in the past. If people are going to go train to come back to the United States, to blow up Times Square. You know, in my book, I mentioned that Justice Brennan a long time ago went to Israel, and when he came back, he said there's only one country we could learn how to balance civil liberties against the fight against terrorism. Israel's been doing it for 50 mm-hmm. years, and they've been doing it tolerably well. We can learn a lot. Particularly ISIS is now emulating Hamas, and so we have to learn also how to fight that kind of terrorism without compromising our liberty.
And the prospect of using human shields, you talked about that. That was exactly what was happening in Gaza with Hamas.
Right.
Talk about the difficulties of going through that and understanding where the lines are drawn there.
Well, ISIS is going to embed its fighters among civilians because it will emulate Hamas's dead baby strategy. What Hamas does is it puts Israel to the terrible choice. Either allow our rockets to kill your civilians, allow our tunnels to kill your civilians, or respond and you'll kill our civilians. We'll be ready with TV cameras to hold up the dead babies and you will look terrible in the court of public opinion. ISIS is doing the same thing. They're hiding their soldiers among civilians in urban areas, and we will have to choose whether not to fire at them or to fire at them knowing there'll be some civilian casualties.
Well, in terms of firing, the targeted killings now, I mean, is that something of a preferred method of going about
it's
assassination?
It's the best method. If you can really target the leaders and not kill civilians instead of blanket carpet bombing, if you can isolate who the leaders are, who the terrorists are, and you can get them, targeted killing is so much better than untargeted killing. Mm-hmm. And yet Israel gets condemned for doing it. United States will be condemned for doing it. One of the big red herrings is we killed an American citizen. Big deal. When an American citizen goes over and becomes a combatant on the other side, like many did in Germany mm-hmm. and in Japan, more in Germany than in Japan during the Second World War, they lose their special status as American citizens. They're just combatants, and we're entitled to go after them.
To the point of not allowing those who go over to the Middle East reportedly to train to re-enter the country? What are your thoughts on
that?
We
should make it a crime to go abroad to train to do harm to the United States. Then we can welcome them back with open arms and closed bars and put them in jail. But we can't just let them go train and come back holding their American passport or their European passport. There are 500 ISIS fighters with EU passports mm-hmm. who can easily come into the United States. We have to adapt the law to the new realities.
Do you think it is possible to approach these debates, sir, without emotions inherently becoming involved in them, attached to things like terrorism, privacy, religious beliefs, and freedom?
There's no way. I mean, these are highly emotional issues. Take the issue of torture, which I write about both in my book and in the column. Mm-hmm. Should we ever, under any circumstances, use torture? My answer is no. But I think we're going to use it. And if we're going to use it, we better have procedures in place to make sure that no low-level CIA agent can do it without the approval of the highest authority in the United States.
I could talk to you forever. My producer is telling me I have to go, and I'm actually going to take issue with him later. But Alan Dershowitz, thank you so much. A great series of columns in the Boston Globe. And want to plug again your new e-book, Terror Tunnels, The Case for Israel's Just War Against Hamas. Thank you.
Thank you so much.